That I want to have is victory in Jesus. We can have it. 2015, I believe, is going to be a wonderful and a great year. Because, you know, I'm looking for the Lord to return back any moment, any day. But before I get started, how about everyone just stand and just go around and shake each one's hands this morning? I know you probably already have, but hey, let's do it again. Just stretch your legs. Appreciate y'all. You know, as I said, that this year, I believe that we as individuals, we have something to look forward to. We really do. But you know, it's a time and place for us to do what the Lord has really saved us to do. He didn't save us just to come in and sit on a pew, because if we do that, then the pew that we sit on, if there's any other pews that's empty, there's not going to be anyone sitting on. So we got to do our part. The Lord God Almighty, He's done His part. He went to Calvary. And He shed His blood that we could have peace and we could have an everlasting life. And I thank God for that. I thank God that He touched my heart years ago. But today I want to look at some things, some needs that we need to do here in 2015, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 1. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, ye true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your cares of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I am now I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to the full and to the hungry, both to bound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to my account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Our Father, today we want to thank you for the reading of thy word. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will use your word in such a way, Father, that, Lord, that it will touch my life. And not only my life, but, Father, the life of each one of the individuals that's here. Father, we do not know what people go through this day and time. but Father, you do. And Lord Jesus, we ask now that you'll just take thy word and Father, you will plant it within our hearts. And Father, as we go about this week, that we can share the gospel and tell somebody else about Jesus, that we can just brag on none other than Jesus Christ and brag on the church. And Father, as we brag on the church, that means we're bragging on each and every breathing individual, because we are the church, not this building. Father, we're so thankful that we can be out of the weather, that we can be inside where it's a little warm. And Father, we thank you for that. Now God, go with us, be with us, and give us the anointing from on high, God. And Father, touch each one of us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here we see the need of individuals right here. And we see where that not only the need that they was needing at the time, but it was the care. The care that they was looking unto. The introduction, if we could list the things we would like to receive this coming year, would they be selfish, materialism, or would it be spiritual blessing to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we just going about and doing what we can do just to allow people to pat us on the back and say, well done? The only one that we must hear them words from is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like he said unto Paul, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. Paul was faithful unto God. And God knew that once he saved Brother Paul, and where he was there called Saul of Tarsus, but then he became Paul. When he saved him, God knew that he had somebody that would stick with him. That would stick with him like super glue. That would stick with him, would not fail him one bit. Would not compromise the word. Would not compromise anything in the world to please other people. Like Simon Peter. Simon Peter, what did he do? He compromised. He compromised to the high officials. But Paul would not compromise. Paul would not compromise. Paul went about doing what God asked him to do. It didn't make no difference what it was. Paul went and done it. That's the reason we have so many of the books of the Bible in the New Testament that is written by Paul. Why? Because I believe that Paul spent more time in prison than he did on the road. Why? Because he was preaching Christ. He was preaching about the Messiah. He was preaching about the coming King. And he was preaching about salvation. He was preaching about ye must be born again. And ye must be born again. Ha, and over there, and they say in the book of John, what did they say? They say, well, how can I be born again? I've already been born one time, and you said I must be born again? How can you be born again? We must be born of the second birth. The second birth is the most important birth of an individual's life. Because we don't have just one birthday. We have two birthdays. And the main birthday that we must be celebrating is the same birthday that we set aside and we celebrate every year. And we just celebrated that last month. Now, when was the last time, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else, but when's the last time that we've had somebody to come and walk the aisle and come and say, yes, I want to get saved, and they'll get on the altar and they'll cry and they'll beg out for God to save their unworthy soul. And we just sit there with a pooched up mouth, like a blowfish, and whatever. We don't want to think about them. Well, we just said, well, we wonder how long they're going to last. Well, praise God, they're not going to last long unless we go out here and teach them. If we don't take them out here and teach them, if we don't take them out here and teach them the ropes, you might well say, then no, they're not going to grow. And then they're going to get discouraged. And then they're going to get out of church. That's the only way people grow is by other individuals. That's just like going out here this spring and getting up the ground out here and plowing it up and getting all the weeds out and putting the rows in. Then going out there and opening the rows back up and put a little fertilizer in. Then we'll mix the fertilizer into the dirt. Then we'll take the seeds we're going to plant. We'll plant them seeds and we'll put a little more on it. Then we'll water it. Is it going to just sit there or what? It can just sit there and it can rot. It can go away. But we've got to do something. What have we got to do? We've got to contend to the crop. We've got to nourish the crop. We got to feed the crop with fertilizer. We got to get the weeds out. We got to get the honeysuckles out. We got to get all these stuff that's in there. We need to take the rocks and get the big rocks out of the way and everything so the rocks won't be hindering that seed that's going to come forward. So when a new convert, they the same way. What are we going to do? We're just going to let them survive? Well, praise the Lord, they got saved today. We'll go out and we'll tell somebody, hey, we've had somebody saved at church today. Whoopee-doo, praise God. Whoopee-doo. But if we're not going to do what we're supposed to do, what are we going to do? What are they going to do? They're just going to dry up and die. They're going to get so discouraged. Why? Because nobody's teaching them. I thank God for Brother Ray. At least Brother Ray has got in church. And he's been here. He's been faithful to it. This is the only place you'll get the true feeding is from the people. But we need to take and nourish them. We need to take and water them. And we need to kind of put a little backbone in the back where they stand straight. They won't be slumped over. Because once you start slumping over, then the next thing you know, you're going to be slumped on over. And you're going to be slumped over into the briar patch. You're going to be slumped over in the field of the world. And when you are, what are you going to do? What does that plant do if we don't cultivate it, if we don't water it, if we don't feed it, some fertilizer or lime or whatever, or some type of food, vegetable food that we plant with. And if we don't do our part, what are they going to do? They're going to eventually get weak. And when they get weak, what happens? They'll fall in. And then when the cloud comes in,
Then when the rain comes, it beats them to the point. And it beats them down. Beats them down, and then they get all the crud from the earth. The dirt will kind of get on the leaves and everything. Then they're carrying more weight than they can handle.
We need to have the kind of faith that will stand the test of time. We know that this book right here, we know that this Bible, we know that God's Word has stood the test of time.
But is our faith going to stand the test of time that we're in? Is our faith going to continue to get stronger today than what we used to live by?
Like I said before, it's not but a few people, but hey, where there's little,
as long as God's in the midst, we can do all things. It don't take but two or three. Well, look at Paul. Paul was one individual. And he sold out. He gave his heart. He gave his soul. He gave everything out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is the most recognized individual God's Word. Why? Because he's got his name pinned to 13 books in the New Testament. And which rightfully so, I believe his name should be pinned also on the book of Hebrews. But I will not get no argument with nobody about that. But all of what the Hebrews says and what it way it reads and everything, and after Paul's writings, you see where it kind of intertwines. It intertwines. What was Paul about? Paul's about unity. He was about unity. He was about forgiveness. And he knew exactly what it took. He knew what it took. Because when he was on the road to Damascus that day,
I'm just thinking with my own self. I'm just wondering and thinking about, did Paul have any intentions? Or did Paul know exactly what was going to happen on that road? I don't think he did. Because the way that it all happened, here in Acts chapter 9, it says right here, speaking about Paul right here. Well, I'm gonna start with verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out a threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest in desire of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shine round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told unto thee what thou must do. Paul, trembling, after he was knocked to the ground from the light that come from heaven. That light that come from heaven had so much force behind it. It wasn't just heat, but it had so much force behind it, it knocked him to the ground. And when it knocked him to the ground, he trembled. And the astonished said, Lord, oh no. Well, even before, right here, he says, he recognized who he was going to call on a conversation with. And he says, Who art thou, Lord? Now, before anybody can call the Lord Jesus, and before they can call the Jesus Christ, the Lord, they have to be born again. They have to know Jesus Christ and free pardon and forgiveness of sin. They have to be born again, washed in his blood. And Paul right here, he recognized who he was. He said, Lord, and then he said, Arise. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The salvation of Paul come from the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, when all the God of heaven and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, sent that force of light with power that would knock Paul to the ground. And when Paul hit the ground, and I believe before Paul got back up, he recognized who had done it. He said, Lord. Then what did the Lord say unto him? Arise. Arise. And go. And do what you will be told to do. Here we see where the favor that shows the truth, the proof of the new birth and a new life. The practicing what you preach, if you're practicing what you speak of and you are practicing what you preach, and if I practice what I preach, then I have to go out into the world and I have to prove unto the world and I have to prove unto God that I know what He wants me to do. He has to prove me. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to give me exactly what I need to do this week. I don't need to go home to this afternoon, and I don't even have to go home tonight after church, and I don't have to get up in the morning and get in there and just start thinking about what I must do this week. What must I do Monday and Tuesday? What must I do Wednesday? What must I do Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Let me tell you what I must do. I must go out and tell people about the love of God. Go out and tell them that He cares for them. He cares for the lost. Who else cares for the lost? The church. We need to care for the lost. If you don't care for the lost today, then you need to be on the altar. We need to care for the lost. And we don't have to worry about if what they say or anything like that. What we have to do, we have to tell them about Jesus. Plant the seed of faith. The seed that comes from Faith Baptist Church. It's what we've grown up with within us. That we can go out and we can tell people about the love of God. And we can stand on the fact that if we trust in the faith that the Word of God gives us, we can trust in the fact that when we go out here and we talk to someone else, all we have to do is give them that little seed. Plant that little seed. And don't worry about it any longer. We must not worry about it. All we have to do is plant the seed. We can't. There's nothing else we can do about it. We need to allow someone else to go back behind the student and be able to water and nourish that seed that's been planted. But we that's planted that seed, we don't need to really focus on that one individual all the time. Because there's other individuals out there that we need to plant seeds unto. And as we plant seeds unto them, we never know. We never know where that seed will manifest at. We never know. See, because God's the only one can give increase to the seed. God is the only one can take that seed and where that seed can sprout. That we had the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one is that we should never disagree with one another in a church house. Yes, we can say, well, I don't quietly agree. Don't disagree. Just say, well, show me. That's what we need. We need to have people to show us what is in God's Word. And not just be just hearers only. We need to be doers. Hearers Never got nothing done. They can hear. They can study. They can read. But they never get nothing done until you're going out there and start doing what you've heard and what you read. That's why you'll start getting something done. That's why you will start growing. That's why I will start growing. And there's no one here, there's no one that I've ever met has ever got to that point in the Christian life that they cannot grow some more. Because we can all grow some more. We really can. And I'm gonna leave something else with you. And this is it. When it happened to me, and I see people do it all the time. But when you stand it, you're an invitation. Don't watch yourself and don't grab a hold of the pew in front of you. Because that's one of the devil's weapons that he uses to keep us from coming to God. In the day and time that we live in, we should always be on the altar. Because nothing else can be definitely come and pray for me. If you ain't got nobody else to pray for, if you ain't got family members to pray for, if you ain't got a loved one or a friend that's not in church, and you can't pray for them, then always pray for me. But I've seen people literally hang on to that back pew, and they get to the point that they'll grip it so hard. The knuckles will start turning white. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray, Father, that we can be about what you'd have us to do. Because there are so many things that we need to do here. Faith Baptist Church, there's so many. So many things that I need to do in my own life, Lord. And Father, I thank you. Lord, that where you speak to each one of our hearts about the faith that we can come through, that we can have the faith that can bring us through the troubles and times. Father, we can have the faith to get over the hurdles and get over the mountains of life. And Father, now we ask, Lord, that you just be with each one of these individuals today. Father, my soul, I believe you today that these individuals here today are some of your choice servants. They love you, Lord, and that's the reason they're here. And Father, if their love has dwindled any way at all, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you get up from the pew, Father, come to an old-fashioned altar. Lord Jesus, we need you. We come to the altar, we need you. Remember what the altar is all about. And Father, now we ask, Lord,
touch the people. Be with us this day.